إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you once again. Tonight, inshaAllah ta'ala, we're going to start talking about a topic of extreme importance for all of us Muslims. It's about a guest, a noble guest, that we love and we should love. A noble guest that brings a lot of good for us as Muslims. In this period of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows many favors upon the Muslims. Forgive them their sins, raise them levels, and save them from the hellfire. His noble guest is the month of Ramadan. The Salaf, among the Sahaba, the companions, and the Tabi'een, and the great scholars, and the A'imma of this deen, they used to prepare for Ramadan 6 months before Ramadan comes. 6 months. We have less than 2 months. So we're like 4 months late. We're like 4 months late. As a human being, any event, especially those that have to deal with money and making some money or some profit, any event, if it is so important, we all prepare for it. The merchants, they know. Anybody who has a business, whether it's in cars or in groceries or in any clothing, they know where they make more profit. They know those dates, and they prepare for them. They want to make sure they are ready when the event began. They are not only that they sure they are ready, but they will make sure that they have what it takes to make the best of it and most of it. Likewise, fasting for us Muslims is not just not eating and drinking and that's it. No, fasting is beyond that. Anybody can do that. But fasting for us is an opportunity. It's a great opportunity. Because fasting, as we're going to learn, brings a lot to us as Muslims. And this great month of Ramadan, which is only 1 month a year. 1 month. And now we're saying this, and we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who benefit from Ramadan. Because we don't know if we're going to make it or not. As right now, you may think of people who they fasted the last Ramadan, but they're gone this year. Think how many people, our brothers or our sisters, maybe some of them your family members in the community, that we have buried, or others than us, they are buried since the last Ramadan. So for them, it will be no next Ramadan. For sure. But for me and you, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know, it's not guaranteed for any one of us, but we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to benefit from the month of Ramadan. But we have to prepare for it. Ramadan for us should not just be as a custom, it's a tradition, it's just by habit. We just, Ramadan comes, we fast, Ramadan is gone, and that's it. No. Ramadan is a great opportunity. You cannot be in Ramadan, you cannot be the same person before Ramadan. This is a great opportunity, a golden opportunity. But the only way we can get the most of it, if we prepare for it. When Ramadan comes, we are ready. By us getting our mind, our heart ready for Ramadan. Some people they be planning, yes. Some people they prepare for Ramadan, but they planning what they want to eat in Ramadan. Now, people before, a month or two before Ramadan, he sit with his wife, he said, look, Ramadan is coming. I don't want to hear you telling me, look, man, I didn't have time. Look, let's make some tuna sandwiches. This is Ramadan, sister. Let's sit down right now. We're going to come up with a menu. You're not going to tell me, look, Maghrib is 10 minutes and now you're going to like, let's prepare something. Listen, sis, an hour before Maghrib, the food is ready. They want some preparations. Okay? But we, alhamdulillah, we're going to eat anyway. Alright? But we have to look at Ramadan from another angle. That this is an opportunity that gets us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An opportunity that allow us to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An opportunity to reflect on ourselves. Where do we stand? Since the last Ramadan, it's like do the accounting. Since the last Ramadan, have you made any progress? Are you going forward? Are you going backward? Or me and you, are we just running in a circle? And we couldn't see the signs that tell us get out of the circle? That's why we prepare for Ramadan. These are those who benefit from it, they prepare for it. So when Ramadan comes, they are ready. They know what to do in Ramadan. They know, look, it's only 29 days or 30 days. Is they going to go fast like so many other Ramadans are gone? Many people, subhanAllah, they don't prepare for it. Ramadan comes, Ramadan gone. They have nothing but sorrow. They're like, subhanAllah, Ramadan is gone. I should have been better. Now, say to yourself these things right now. Say, I want to be better in next Ramadan. I want this coming Ramadan to be better than any Ramadan in my life. And how is it going to be better? By learning. To be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To do the things that make you closer, draw you closer to Allah, and keep you firm upon the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to read from this book, Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi, by our noble Shaykh, Dr. Saleh Al-Fawzan, حفظه الله تعالى. The first chapter is a couple chapters. There's five chapters in this section. The first chapter, باب في وجوب صوم رمضان ووقته. Fasting in the month of Ramadan is an obligation, by the way. قال الشيخ حفظه الله, fasting in the month of Ramadan is a pillar from the pillars of Islam. And it is from those things that Allah has made obligatory upon us. And this is well known to the Muslims. You don't have to be a scholar or student of knowledge to know that fasting in the month of Ramadan is an obligation. But still there are texts. There are texts from the Quran and from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that support this obligation. For instance, the famous ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the ayah 183, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. O you who believe, fasting has prescribed upon you as it was prescribed for those who came before you. A benefit from this is that the previous nations, fasting was made obligatory upon them as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says from the ayah 183 until ayah 185. We read to you from the Noble Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, observing the fasting, as-sawm, is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you. that you may become al-muttaqun, pious. Look at the benefits of fasting. It's not to lose weight. Some people, they gain weight in Ramadan, because that's all what they prepare for, are going to eat. Some people, yes, it's a reality, sad reality. Some people, they eat more in Ramadan than outside Ramadan. People since Maghrib, that's all they do. What's in their mind is how much they can eat until Fajr. Instead to say, how much can I read of Quran? How much istighfar can I do today? How many sick people can I visit? How many people can I help? How much hadith can I read? Ya subhanallah. أياما معدودات فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له وأن تصوموا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. Observing the fast for a fixed number of days. But if any one of you, but if any of you is ill, meaning sick, or on a journey traveling, the same number should be made up from other days. And as for those who can fast with difficulty, for example an old man or an old woman, they have a choice either to fast or to feed a poor person if they cannot fast for every day they miss. But whoever does good of his own accord, it is better for him, and that you fast is better for you if only you know. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. The month of Ramadan, in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for mankind and clear proofs for the guidance and the criterion between right and wrong. So whoever of you cites the crescent of the first night of the month of Ramadan, he must observe the fast that month. And whoever is ill or on a journey, the same number of days which one did not fast must be made up from other days. Allah intends for you ease, and He does not want to make things difficult for you. He wants that you must complete the same number of days, and that you must magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having guided you, so that you may be grateful to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as you see here, it is prescribed for us. And there is an order from Allah, in the Shaykh, he says in the ayah, فَلْيَصُمْهُ. This is a fi'lu amr. This is a verb of command. So fasting in a month of Ramadan is an obligation, is not a choice. From the ahadith, you find the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith that is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, that the Prophet ﷺ said, بُنِيَ الْإِسْلَامُ عَلَى خَمْسٍ. Islam is built on five things. These are the pillars of Islam. The ulama, they call them the pillars of Islam. شَهَادَةِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهُ صلى الله عليه وسلم. The first pillar, to bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone with no partners, and that Muhammad is his slave and messenger, his servant and a messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ, that you establish the prayer. وَإِتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ, the third pillar from the pillars of Islam, to pay the zakat. إِرْحَمُكَ اللَّهِ. وَصَوْمِ رَمَضَانِ, and the fourth pillar is to fast in the month of Ramadan. وَحَجِّ بَيْتِ اللَّهِ الْحَرَامِ لِمَنْ إِسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, and the fifth pillar is to make the hajj for those who have the ability to do so. فَمَنْ أَنْكَرَ وُجُوبَ هَذَا الْوُجُوبُ كَفَرَ الْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. If somebody says, look, you fast, it's not obligatory to fast. You fast, you don't fast, you're free, man. We're in America, akhi. It's free. You do whatever you want to do. That's كَفَرَ الْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. That's disbelief. That's very dangerous. Now what is the hikmah, the wisdom? The Shaykh, he mentioned the wisdom. And when he came to the wisdom, the ulama, they mentioned some of the wisdoms. But there is a principle that we have to always remember. We don't just do things because we know the wisdom. As long as Allah commands us to do something, whether in His book or in the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we act upon it. There is good for it in us, whether we know some wisdom or we don't. But some of the wisdom of fasting, قال أن فيه تزكية للنفس وتطهيرا وتنقية لها من الأخلاق الرديئة والأخلاق الرذيلة. Fasting in general, and especially in Ramadan, is a purification for the soul. Fasting in general purifies the soul. It cleans the soul from all type of evil and despicable characteristics. Because we're human, we don't live alone. We mix with others, we live around other people. And we may pick up bad things here or there. Fasting purifies us. Fasting purifies our souls. The Shaykh says why? Because when a person fasts, he makes the veins shrink. And keep in mind, the Prophet ﷺ says that the shaitan run through the son of Adam as the blood run through the veins. Fasting makes these passages to shrink, to be tight, so make it difficult for the shaitan to make his moves. And the shaitan is a wicked enemy for us. Allah tells us that shaitan is an open enemy to you. Treat him as an enemy. Shaitan never wants any good for us. His main goal is to make us fall into shirk and disbelief. That's his main goal. And that's not the only plan he has. There's a lot of people, they fall into the tricks of the shaitan, and they are upon shirk, polytheism, and upon kufr and disbelief. But the shaitan has so many plans. Those who they like, look, shirk? No, I'm a Muslim, alhamdulillah, upon tawheed. Shaitan get them into bid'ah, innovations. Shaitan get them into desires, keep them busy with the dunya, instead to take from the dunya what enabled them and helped them to stay on the path that led them to the akhirah. The Shaykh, he says, when a person, we as a human being, when we eat, especially if we eat a lot, if we eat nice meal and we get some nice beverages and drinks, we get lazy. Right or wrong? That happened to you before? When you eat a nice meal and you really drink some nice juices or whatever the case, what's the first thing come to your mind? You want to lay down. You want to lay down, relax. You feel sleepy. You want to take a nap. So you don't have a desire to do other things, especially ibadahs. But some is totally the opposite. When a person fasts, they find energy. Yes, you didn't eat, but you still have energy. SubhanAllah, look at Ramadan. Don't you see? Is the masajid in Ramadan the same way outside Ramadan? No, it's not. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Ya akhi, in Ramadan, some masajid, you come, you think like, this is the same masjid? It's packed. So many mushafs collecting dust, wal-iyadu billah. In Ramadan, you don't even find one. You have to bring your own mushaf. Before Ramadan, you will come to the masjid at the time of the adhan. You may be the first one get there. In Ramadan, you come half an hour, you sit in the seventh row. People reading the Quran. Jumu'ah, forget about it in Ramadan. If you don't come half an hour before the adhan, you're going to sit outside in the sun. In Ramadan. So when a person is fasting, They don't think about the dunya, they think about the akhirah. They be reading more Quran, they listening to the Quran, they spend more time in a masjid when they fasting. They talking about the akhirah, about death. They be mindful of Allah. But once they break the fast, start talking about dunya. Aina. Likewise, from the wisdom of fasting, it makes us actually be more kinder, more kind and nicer to the poor and the needy. Why? Because when you fast, you feel the hunger they feel. You feel the pain, because fasting is not easy for everybody. Especially when it comes in the summer, for ours, for us this year, alhamdulillah, it's going to start in July. And then you're fasting at least 16 hours from Fajr. That's if you really eat suhoor before Fajr. And that's the sunnah, by the way, to delay and eat right before Fajr time. Until Maghrib, that's some 16 hours at least, or maybe 16 and a half or 17. Of course, by Dhuhr, Asr, you'll be like feeling pain. You faint, you're dizzy. But guess what? You're looking at the clock and you're like, oh, 4 hours, 3 hours, 2 more hours, 45 minutes, 10 minutes after class. You're looking at, why? Because the food, the plate, the table is already in front of you. But what about those families, not just one person, the father, the mother, 7 children, and the grandmother, and the in-laws, they all sitting there, and they hungry, but they don't know what they're going to eat. Are they going to eat after Maghrib? Are they going to eat after Maghrib? Are they going to eat after Isha? Or maybe they've been there on that for 2 days. See how it is? And you feel their hunger, the pains. Because now you get hungry and you get thirsty. Because fasting is a ibadah, keep in mind, is an act of worship. We don't do it just because a custom is a tradition. Oh, Ramadan comes, oh, we gotta fast because everybody's fasting. No, it's an act of worship. We should love doing it, because this is what Allah has prescribed for us. And Allah prescribed for us that which is good for us. And we should thank Allah that we're still alive and that we're gonna do this act of worship. So fasting, of course, the definition of it in the legislation, al-imsaku biniyya an ashya'a makhsusa. In the terminology of the legislation, what is fasting? Fasting is that you stay away and abstain from certain things, not everything, specific things that Allah commands us to stay away from, but with the intention that you're doing it for Allah. And those things are well known. Al-akl wa-shurb wa-jima'. These are the main things. We stay away from all food. We don't eat anything. We stay away from all drinks, including water. Because certain people, they think, no, water is okay. No, it's not. You don't drink anything. And you stay away from intercourse as well. And now we're talking about those who are married, because those who are not married, they have no business, whether in Ramadan or outside of Ramadan. Because that's going to be zina, wal-iyadu billah, and that's haram. But for those who are married, they should, while fasting, they should. And this is a command from Allah, it's an obligation to stay away from intercourse. And there is other things also that we're going to learn, inshallah, in one of other chapters. What are the things that we should stay away from while fasting? Not just food and drinks and intercourse. There is other things that we're going to learn, inshallah, in this chapter. Included of that also is that not only our mouth fast and our stomach fast, every single limb in our body has to fast. our eyes has to fast from haram. Not just in Ramadan. In any time. Because fasting is to stay away from. That's what it means. Fasting is to abstain. To give up. To stay away from something. Likewise, our eyes have to fast from looking at the haram. Our ears has to fast from listening to haram. We don't listen to ghaiba. Somebody want to backbite the Muslim and we're listening. No, we don't listen to ghaiba, namima, backbiting. We don't listen to falsehood. We don't listen to lies. Somebody is lying, we're still listening. We don't listen to music. All types of music. Likewise, our tongue fasts. Not just from tasting and eating, but also from lying, from backbiting, from slandering, from witnessing falsehood, from saying that which is not right and not pleasing to Allah. Our hands has to fast from touching anything that is haram, from abusing people by hitting them, fighting against them, from doing anything or touching anything that is not permissible, from signing any contract or any check that is not permissible. Our feet fast as well. How? By not making one move, one step towards that which is not pleasing to Allah. It's not just our stomach that fasts and we don't eat and drink. No. Everything in us should fast by abstaining and staying away from anything that is not pleasing to Allah, things that are going to get us in trouble. ويبتدئ وجوب الصوم اليوم بطلوع الفجر الثاني وهو البياض المعترض في الأفق وينتهي بغروب الشمس. Now another point we're going to learn tonight is when fasting began. The day. It begins from the Fajr, the true Fajr. And it ends by sunset, Maghrib. There is a misconception. Some people, they think that fasting starts from sunrise. I don't know where they get it, but some people, yes, they ask these questions. Some people may think that fasting, the day, starts from sunrise. And as you know, there is at least an hour and some, hour 10, hour 15 minutes between Fajr and sunrise. And it's not permissible for a person to start their fasting day from sunrise. No. It starts from Fajr. It starts from Fajr. The Fajr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meaning of Fajr is that which is in the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is clear. What is Fajr? Is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, is that whiteness of the day become distinguished from the darkness of the night. In some calendars on Ramadan, you will find them, they add another time. They say Fajr, let's say Fajr come at 5 o'clock, but they have another time, they call it Imsak, at 4:30. And they make it obligatory on the people to stop eating and drinking and all that half an hour before Fajr. Whereas Allah make it easy for the people, for His servant, but those people who make those calendars, they make it difficult for the people. Allah says to us, tell us, eat and drink until you see the Fajr. These people, they say, no, you gotta stop half an hour before Fajr. And that's very wrong. They say, no, you gotta stop half an hour. It's better. Who says better? Are you? Do you know better or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Allah tells us eat and drink until Fajr, That's what we want to do. We don't stop half an hour or 10 minutes or 5 minutes before Fajr. The same thing they do in Maghrib. Some people, they think just like that, because they don't abide by the Quran and the Sunnah. Maghrib come at 7 p.m. They don't. They add another 5-10 minutes. They're like, look, we're going to add a little bit more, because look, the more you add, the better. Says who? Adding to the deen of Allah is haram, is not permissible. And especially we have a text from the Quran. Eat until sunset. But the ulama, they says, the sun has to completely submerge. We don't break the fast while the sun is setting. As long as we still see the sun, a part of it, half of it, or a quarter of it, or a piece of it, we still fast. Until the sun completely submerged and is gone, and we cannot see it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وابتغوا ما كتب الله لكم وكلوا واشربوا حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر ثم أتموا الصيام إلى الليل. In Ayah 187, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and eat from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide you with, and continue to eat until, this is in the night time in Ramadan, until the white thread of the day becomes distinct from the dark thread of the night, which is Fajr. At that time you stop and continue the fast until Maghrib. Now the white thread here is not like some people, they go in Ramadan and have one white thread in here and one black and they go like this. That's not what he means. What he means is that the ulama, they mention, as he mentioned a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that the darkness of the night is gone and the whiteness of the day is coming instead. And you gotta have some skills to know this. You gotta have some feel skills, like people who knows the Fajr, because a lot of people don't know the time of Fajr. Some people, they be praying way before Fajr, and that's a big mistake. Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala talk about this. Shaykh Taqiyuddin al-Hilali, many masajid throughout so many Muslim lands that the ulama, they travel to, they notice that many masajid, they pray before Fajr, and they pray before time of the Salat, and they don't have no Salat. You gotta be careful. Make sure you don't pray until Fajr is in. Likewise, those people who they don't know where the Fajr, and then they call the Adhan maybe 20 minutes before the actual Fajr, now they make it obligatory on the people who hear the Adhan, they stop. Whereas Allah tells them to continue to eat and drink until Fajr, but that Mu'adhin went and called the Adhan before the time, depriving so many Muslims from something that Allah has made permissible for them. So anyway, this issue of calling the Adhan in time, especially for Fajr, is very, very important. And this is a big issue in so many, many places and so many, many masajid. So the one who called the Adhan, he has to know that there is a great responsibility on that person. In any time that person want to call the Adhan, they have to learn. You think, some people, they think just because he has a nice voice, no, it's not like that. He comes with a big responsibility. Because now you call the Adhan before the time of the prayer, and the people pray because of the Adhan, so what? Who's responsible? The Mu'adhin. You gotta know where is the time. If you don't know, learn. There is books of the ulama. They explain the times of the prayer. There is ayats. There is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Should know. Now this is the time, because a lot of people, they don't know. They say, look, mashallah, we have a masjid, we have a mu'adhin, alhamdulillah, we gotta go with the mu'adhin. But still those people, they have to be vigilant too, because the mu'adhin is a human being, he may make a mistake. And we're not saying this to discourage the Mu'addin and now next time for Isha, nobody want to call the Adhan. We're just saying, look, there is a great virtue of calling the Adhan, but it comes with a responsibility too. You need to learn how to do it the right way. Okay? Barakallahu feekum. Now, when it's become obligatory, we learned when the day of each day of Ramadan, the fast starts and when it ends. It starts at Fajr, the true Fajr, and it ends at Maghrib. Now, how the month starts? How we know that this tomorrow is the first of Ramadan or the day after that? The Sheikh said there is three ways to find out. Three ways. The first way, seeing the crescent, meaning the moon. They call it the crescent because a tiny moon is the crescent, Hilal. When you see the crescent, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. Whoever amongst you witness and sees the crescent of the month of Ramadan should fast. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith that is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, rahimahumullah, he says, "Sawmu li ru'yatihi," fast when you see the crescent of the month of Ramadan. So whoever see the month has to fast. That person who see it, now it become obligatory upon that person to fast. The second way is a ru'ya. If somebody, but it is not, we don't understand from this that all the Muslims should see the month. If one of them didn't see it, oh, let's go, we have to see it all. No. That's why we have the second way. If one Muslim, trustworthy, reliable, not a liar, not known to be a liar or crazy, no, he's a Muslim, reliable, trustworthy, if he informed the community and the society that that person, he saw the moon, everybody should take what he says and fast. They begin to fast. Why? Because we have a hadith. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he was a young man. He was a teenager. He said the people, Tara an-nasul hilal. The people, they went out to look for the moon of Ramadan. He says, but I informed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I saw the crescent of the month of Ramadan. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to fast next day and command the people to fast. But this hadith is recorded by Imam Abu Dawood, Ibn Hibban, Al-Hakim, Ad-Darqutni. The third way that we know when the month of Ramadan starts by completing Sha'ban 30 days. Because Sha'ban is the month that comes before Ramadan. Now we are in Rajab. The month after Rajab is Sha'ban. And Sha'ban, we have Ramadan right after Sha'ban. Now, if on the 29th of Sha'ban, when that day finished, Maghrib comes, the Muslim, they look at the moon of Ramadan on the 29th day, which is going to be, at Maghrib is going to be the 30th night, because the nights come before the day. So if they see the crescent, then alhamdulillah, the next day is the first of Ramadan. If they didn't see it, nobody sees it, and especially if it's overcast, a lot of clouds, it's raining, you can't see it. Then what they do? They complete Sha'ban 30 days, and automatically the next day will be the first of Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, إِنَّمَا الشَّهْرُ تِسْعًا وَعِشْرُونَ يَوْمًا فَلَا تَصُومُوا حَتَّى تَرَوْا أَيِّ الْهِلَالِ وَلَا تُفْطِرُوا حَتَّى تَرَوْا أَيِّ الْهِلَالِ فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ فَاقْدُرُوا لَهُ وَمَعْنَى اقْدُرُوا لَهُ أَيْ أَتِمُّوا شَهْرَ شَعْبَانَ 30 يَوْمًا لما ثبت في حديث أبي هريرة فإن غمي عليكم الشهر فعدوا 30. In this hadith that is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, rahimahumullah, the Prophet ﷺ says, the month, the Arabic month, the Hijri month, is 29. Cannot be 28 like February in the other calendar. It got to be at least 29. And there is no such thing 31 in the Arabic month. It's 29 or 30. So it has to be 29. So we should not fast, he says, the Prophet ﷺ, until we see the crescent of Ramadan. And we should not break the fast, meaning the Eid, until we see the crescent of Shawwal as well, after Ramadan, at the end of Ramadan. But if you could not see the month, the crescent of Ramadan, complete 30. Go tomorrow, say tomorrow is going to be 30 of Sha'ban, inshallah, and the day after that automatically is going to be the first of Ramadan. Who should fast? The obligation of fasting upon who? Upon every Muslim. Mukallafin qadir. Every Muslim who reached the age of puberty and having the ability to fast, able to fast. So fasting is not obligatory upon the disbeliever, the kafir. And if a kafir fasts, some kuffar, they try to fast. They work for a Muslim, or they work with Muslims, or whatever the case is, they want to fast. Allah doesn't accept that fast from them, because Allah does not accept from the disbelievers. But however, if a non-Muslim repents from shirk and kufr, if a non-Muslim became a Muslim in Ramadan, that person will fast from that day. Let's say on the 10th of Ramadan, and it happens a lot, alhamdulillah, in Ramadan people come and they become Muslims. If on the 10th day of Ramadan, that Muslim, right after time, by the Salat, there is a non-Muslim come and say, look, well, Muslims, I want to be a Muslim. You give him the Shahadatain, not just one, the Shahadatain. Shahadu la ilaha illallah, Shahadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Both of them, not just one. They say Shahada. If you say give him Shahada, which one? You give him la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And if you give him only one without the other, it's not enough. If somebody say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that's it, doesn't enter Islam. If somebody say Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, and he didn't say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, doesn't enter into Islam. He has to say both of them. So we say we give him Shahadatain. That person now, he fasts until the end of Ramadan, and that person does not have to make the 10 days. Because before that, he was not Muslim. We don't tell him, oh listen, alhamdulillah, you're a Muslim, but look, you already missed 10 days of Ramadan, you gotta make a map. No, doesn't have to make anything. Likewise, fasting is not obligatory upon young children. However, those children who didn't reach the age of puberty, but they reached the age of discernment. They are not in the age of puberty, but alhamdulillah, they may be 7, 8, 9. And if they fast, and we should encourage them to fast, so they can get used to it. Now, fasting, if they fast any days or days, then Allah accepted from them as a nafila, as a sunnah for them, alhamdulillah. Fasting is not obligatory upon a majnoon. The majnoon is the one who has problems with his mind, alayhi salam. Someone who lost his faculty of mind. Why? Because they don't make an intention, they don't know what it is. Likewise, fasting is not obligatory upon a person, a sick person, who is not able to fast, or on a traveler. Now, it doesn't mean it's not obligatory upon them, period. No, while they're sick or while they're traveling. But it's still obligatory upon them to fast. It's obligatory upon them to fast. But since they're sick, or he's traveling, they don't fast, but they have to make it up later on. That's what he means, it's obligatory upon them. So now the Shaykh, he says, when Allah made it obligatory upon us to fast, upon His servants, this includes the traveler and the one who is not traveling, the sick person and the one who is not sick, the women on their menses and the women who are not on their menses, and the one who is unconscious. All of these people is obligatory upon them to fast. However, some of them, they fast every day in Ramadan. Others, they make it up another day. You see? For example, the one who is not traveling, he has to fast day by day. The one who is traveling, don't fast, but still they have to fast another day. The one who is not sick, they have to fast every day of the month of Ramadan. Day by day. You don't say, look, I'm just going to break the fast as long as I fast 30 days, so what? I'm not going to fast in July, I fast in November. No, can't do that. But the sick person who did not fast the whole month in July, yes, they can fast in January, no problem. If they feel better. Likewise, the woman in her menses does not fast. It's haram for her to fast. But she fasts on another days after Ramadan when she's a pure. Faddal akhi, call the adhan, inshallah. Allah Akbar. Now. Now keep in mind, the fasting person has a choice whether to break the fast or not. Regardless if that person is traveling on camels or on foot or first class on an airplane or in a car or a bus, doesn't matter. If a person is traveling and wants to break the fast, they can. And if they want to fast, yes they can. Unless if traveling become very hard on them to fast, they should break the fast. Likewise, the sick person. Now, if a person is sick but they still can fast, they go ahead and fast. Somebody has a little cold, but they can still fast, they fast. But if that illness becomes very hard on them, then they break the fast, alhamdulillah. The last point we mentioned today in this chapter, the Shaykh says, if somebody broke the fast in any day of Ramadan because they have a valid reason, but that reason is gone in the day of Ramadan. For example, the Shaykh gave an example to make this clear. Musafir, somebody was traveling, but then he came home after Dhuhr, for example, he get home, so he's not traveling anymore. Likewise, a woman, when Fajr comes in, she was in her menses. But right at Dhuhr time, alhamdulillah, the mens stopped and she took a shower and she prayed Dhuhr. Likewise, the Shaykh says, somebody who took Shahadatain became a Muslim during the day of Ramadan. Likewise, someone who was unconscious and regained his faculty of mind, and also a young child, a boy or girl that reached the puberty during the day of Ramadan. All of these ones, he says, they should abstain from anything that break the fast from that moment until Maghrib. Okay, until Maghrib. And of course, they have to make up that day, like the Musafir, the traveler, and the woman, the men and women, because in the beginning of the day they were not fasting. Because this has to do with the niyyah. Because the niyyah, the intention to fast in the obligatory fast, has to be before Fajr. not at morning or of dhuhr and the like. Likewise, the Shaykh says, sometimes you may find a village or a community or certain people, they didn't know about Ramadan. They didn't know. Nobody tell them until dhuhr time, for example. They got up, they thought, okay, look, nobody saw the moon. Well, tomorrow is not Ramadan. They fixed for themselves a breakfast. They didn't have no intention to fast. But then later on, before dhuhr, by dhuhr, somebody told them, you're not fasting? They said, oh no, the moon was not sighted. They said, no, actually it was. People are fasting. Oh, we didn't know. What they do? The Shaykh said, at that moment when they heard about Ramadan, they stop eating or drinking or anything. And they complete it until Maghrib and they make up that day. They make up that day. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira.